Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 14. In this chapter, we read that God sent a drought or series of droughts upon Judah as a sign and warning that the end of the nation was right there on the horizon because Israel had sinned and broken her covenant with God and refused to repent after many warnings. Let's begin by reading the first six verses. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the droughts. Judah mourns, and her gates languish. They mourn for the land, and the cry of Jerusalem has gone up. Their nobles have sent their lads or servants for water. They went to the cisterns and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads, because the ground is parched, for there was no rain in the land. The plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. Yes, the deer also gave birth in the field, but left because there was no grass. And the wild donkeys stood in the desolate heights. They sniffed at the wind like jackals. Their eyes failed because there was no grass. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Jeremiah chapter 14, with some background notes. In this chapter, we see that God sent a major drought on the nation of Judah as a sign and warning to the people of the coming Babylonian captivity because of Judah's sin and rebellion. In fact, this drought may have been associated with Nebuchadnezzar's invasion in 597 BC, when Jehoiakim and others were deported to Babylon. The final invasion, of course, came in 586 BC when the temple was destroyed and the nation went into captivity. In any event, here in the first six verses of the chapter, we have a vivid description of the horrible conditions that existed during the drought. Even the servants of the rich and well-off nobility could not find water. Verse 3, their nobles have sent their servants for water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. The farmers covered their heads in shame, because they could not produce any crops out of the dry and parched and cracked ground. Wildlife was totally disrupted with much starvation and death. There was no grass or vegetation and no water. All of this was because of Judah's sin. The sins of any nation bring bad fallout, even on the environment. Let's move now to our doctrinal points for Jeremiah chapter 14. Doctrinal point number one, droughts in Israel were a sign of a broken covenant. Droughts in Israel were a sign of a broken covenant. In the second half of Jeremiah chapter 12, we had the conclusion of Jeremiah's sermon concerning the broken covenant between God and his people. Now, God did not break his side of the covenant, but the people continuously broke their side of the covenant. In chapter 13, Jeremiah gave the object lesson of the ruined linen sash, the parable of the smashed wine bottles, and the message of the scattered flock of sheep. All three of these communications, the object lesson, the parable, and the message, were warnings to the people of the coming Babylonian invasion and the fact that the people would reap what they had sown. Now here in chapter 14, the Lord himself gives a sign that the covenant had been broken. Extended drought was a sure sign that the covenant was broken, because rain or no rain on the land was part of the sanctions of the Mosaic covenant. I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 28 about the blessings of the covenant if the people followed the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. The Lord will open to you his good treasure or storehouse, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. But now concerning the cursings, if the people broke the covenant, again from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 23 and 24, and your heavens, which are over your head, shall be bronze, and the earth which is under you shall be iron. The Lord will change the rain of your land to powder and dust. From the heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 23 and 24. The people of Israel knew these scriptures. Droughts in Israel were a sign of a broken covenant. Doctrinal point number two. Droughts in Israel were a warning to a bankrupt nation. Droughts in Israel were a warning to a bankrupt nation. In verses 7 through 9 of Jeremiah chapter 14, we see that Jeremiah interceded on behalf of the people. Let's read these verses. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do it for your name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against you. O the hope of Israel, his Savior in time of trouble, why should you be like a stranger in the land and like a traveler who turns aside to tarry for a night? Why should you be like a man astonished, like a mighty one who cannot save? Yet you, O Lord, are in our midst, and we are called by your name. Do not leave us. Jeremiah acknowledged that the people had sinned and broken the covenant, and as a nation, they were spiritually and morally bankrupt. There was no denying these facts. So Jeremiah prayed on the basis of God's own reputation and namesake. Verse 7, how could God just stand by like a stranger or traveler? Verse 8, and not use his power to deliver the nation who is called by his name. Verse 9, the Lord's answer is in verses 10 through 12. Thus says the Lord to this people, thus they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet, therefore the Lord does not accept them. He will remember their iniquity now and punish their sins. Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. In other words, it's too late, Jeremiah. Judah had their chances, but they are spiritually and morally bankrupt. Verse 10. So don't even pray for their welfare. Verse 11. Their religious fasts and offerings mean nothing to me, says the Lord, because their heart is not right. Verse 12. They will die by sword, by famine, and by pestilence. All bad fallout associated with the Babylonian invasion of the spiritually and morally bankrupt nation of Judah. In verse 13, Jeremiah suggested to the Lord that somehow the prophets were to blame for the bankrupt condition of the nation. Verse 13, then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you true peace in this place. In verses 14 through 16, the Lord responded in no uncertain terms that these prophets were false prophets and they were giving a false message. They would be held accountable, and so would the people who believed their false message. Let's read verses 14 through 16. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send, and who say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets shall be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. They will have no one to bury them. Them, nor their wives, their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness on them. Verses 14 through 16. The spiritually and morally bankrupt nation would reap what she had sown. Jeremiah continued his prayer in verses 17 through 22 with a lament for the bankrupt and defeated nation. The sad conditions of verses 17 and 18 may have already taken place because of the 597 BC invasion by the Babylonians. Or on the other hand, Jeremiah could be looking prophetically forward to the final invasion in 586 BC. Let's read these verses, verses 17 and 18. Therefore you shall say this word to them, let my eyes flow with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people has been broken with a mighty stroke, with a very severe blow. If I go out to the field and behold those slain with the sword, and if I enter the city, then behold those sick from famine. Yes, both prophet and priest go about in a land they do not know. In verse 19, Jeremiah asked the Lord why such tragedy had befallen Israel, but then he answers his own question in verse 20. Verse 19, have you utterly rejected Judah? Has your soul loathed Zion? Why have you stricken us so that there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, but there was no good, and for the time of healing, and there was trouble. And verse 20, we acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against you. In verse 21, Jeremiah again requested that the Lord consider the negative effect on the Lord's own name and glory that would result when Judah was conquered. Verse 21, do not abhor us for your name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of your glory. Remember, do not break your covenant with us. We see in verse 22 that Jeremiah and the nation of Judah knew that God controlled the rains and only God could stop the drought. Verse 22, are there any among the idols of the nations that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Are you not he, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait for you, since you have made all these. But God must be true to his moral principles. Droughts in Israel were a warning to a bankrupt nation. Now, what about practical application from Jeremiah chapter 14? Beware of today's false prophets. Beware of today's false prophets. Notice what the Lord told Jeremiah about the false prophets in verse 14. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. You know, the same is true today. There are many false prophets on the religious scene today. And just as in Jeremiah's day, the false prophets of today also try to sell a package of false hope and false security. Verse 13. Behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you true peace in this place. But these are lies. They claim that God is giving them the message. And many of these modern false prophets actually believe that God is speaking to them and through them. But we see in verse 14 that their prophecies are either demonic or figments of their own imagination. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, that some of these false prophets would even be able to do signs or miracles. So don't get taken in like many of the people in Jeremiah's day. Beware today's false prophets.